Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Todd Tomasella in Dallas, Texas, and I've got Travis Bryan III on the line. Brother Travis, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. Fine. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. Just getting going real good here. Got a little coffee and warming up and ready to talk about the cross, brother. This is going to be an exciting program. We titled Crossing Over, taken out of Joshua chapter 3 and 4. The main focus that we're going to see here in, yes, folks, in Joshua chapter 3 and 4, this is going to be another example, a splendid example of how the cross appears in every chapter of the whole Bible. And Brother Travis is just masterful at pointing that out, as you're going to see today in chapter 3 and 4 of the book of Joshua. Now, the concept of the cross, saints, is that we're saying, Lord, we are not, I am not sufficient, you are. And I'm crying out to you today in my utter spiritual poverty to increase. And I will decrease. And Lord, anoint me to decrease. Anoint me to the burial of self that Christ might reign in my life. I'm waving the white flag and saying, I'm letting go and letting God. I'm going to let Jesus pioneer and drive and steer and pilot my life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we must learn this cross, saints. This is not just a theory. This is a biblical concept that must be put into play. And as Brother Travis has said before, this is very addicting, and it's a beautiful addiction. Addiction is not evil. In the New Testament, the Bible says the saints of Christ were, some of them were addicted to the work of God. You know, they got addicted to it. You can get addicted to good stuff, huh, Brother Travis?
That's right, brother.
Especially the cross. Now, go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, Todd, in chapter 4, verse 23, you see this verse. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over. Notice that, passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over. Here we have two great crossings, the Red Sea, and it's even, the Red Sea is even mentioned in Joshua 4, and the crossing of the Jordan River, the Passover. So those words, passed over, crossover, all those terms are giving us clues that these two great chapters are referring to our participation with Christ in his, and the ark with the Levites carrying it signifies Christ going into death. And then we all, the church, comes behind him and participates in his death. So the Jordan River is death with Christ, Todd, and I think the Red Sea is too. I believe the Red Sea signifies the Romans 6 dying to sin with Christ, and Romans Joshua 3 and 4, the Jordan River, signify the dying to the law. If you notice, back in the first chapter of Joshua, you see this verse in Joshua 1, 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Pretty clear that Moses had to die before they were released to go across this river into the promised land. And that signifies, Todd, the fact that we can't enter into the abundant life of Christ, which he's promised us, unless Moses is dead. In other words, we've got to die to the law, Todd.
Amen. Well, that ought to be a welcome. That ought to be a welcome thing that we're instructed to do. If we have a clue what that means, right? Which I think most Christians do, we get all happy about that.
Yeah.
John 1:17, right? The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Keep going, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes. the main truth that I gleaned from this, Todd, and by the way, let me mention a book that I read that really opened this up to me in a beautiful way. And the author's name is a woman, Jessie, J-E-S-S-I-E, Penn, P-E-N-N, dash, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. Jessie Penn Lewis wrote a book called The Conquest of Canaan, in which she brings out all these types and shadows of the cross here, Todd. She was an old speaker and author back in the late 1800s in England. I'm telling you what, she has blessed my life with her understanding of the cross big time. If a listener would get any of her books, especially The Centrality of the Cross, The Cross of Christ, those books like mentioned the cross, and this book here, The Conquest of Canaan, they will really be blessed, Todd.
Praise the Lord. I've heard that from other people. And Jessie Penn Lewis, I know, I'm confident that anyone can get any book on Amazon, used or new, usually. Jessie Penn Lewis, The Centrality of the Cross. I've seen that one around, and that is power. That sounds amazing.
Another one, Todd, good is The Climax of the Risen Life by Jessie Penn Lewis. That thing is really
beautiful.
That thing, you better have some asbestos gloves when you pick that one up.
Hallelujah. Now, in this passage here, Joshua chapter 3 and 4, and saints, I want to encourage you to go and read these two chapters together and begin to identify the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The cross prefigured here, it's obviously encoded in the divine economy, Brother Travis. Is that correct? I mean, for it to show up from Genesis to Revelation
it's on every page of the Bible, Todd, in some little form or fashion, I promise you.
He's got it as a tapestry woven all the way through, doesn't he, Brother?
Absolutely. Now
there was... Go ahead, keep going.
Go ahead.
I was going to say there's some stones
in chapter 3,
in the
verse 8. It says, chapter 3, verse 8, "And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." I love that terminology, stand still in Jordan. The word stillness in the Bible and rest, we find the word rest, Todd, over here in verse 13. "The Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan." We find rest in the cross, Todd. That's where the Christian can finally rest from his flesh and from the law and from all the struggle of trying to accomplish salvation on our own. And we all go through that stage. Paul went through it in Romans 7, where he said, you know, the things I want to do, I can't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. The cross is where we finally find rest and stillness. "Be still and know that I am God." That verse is speaking of the cross right there, God, and the resurrection.
Amen.
Stillness is found in death, and action is found in resurrection, in God. But we can't go into action until we rest and die and are still,
you know,
Todd.
Yes, that's absolutely a distilling truth, if you will. The picture that comes to mind, most believers are familiar with, is Mary and Martha in the New Testament, Can you relate those two, brother? Where Mary sat at his feet.
Well,
Martha,
you know, they two women, and Martha was all worried and hurrying around doing good works and trying hard to get ready for this, and she was so frantic and worried, and it had no peace. And Mary was just sitting there at the foot of the Lord Jesus, and Martha, you know, beseeched Jesus to do something about Mary. Get her up. Get her moving. I need some help here. And Jesus refused and said, no, she has the best part. And that word part is participation. And she was sitting at his feet just communing with him and relating to him. And that's where the very foundation of Christianity is, our union and participation in communion with the Lord Jesus, Todd. And it's a restful life, really. Now, that doesn't mean we lay on a couch because we think of rest as slovenliness, but it's not. But you can't work. You can't labor until you rest, Todd. There has to be a rest in death before there can be a labor in the spirit.
That is so beautifully said. You know, the scriptures bear that out all the way through. It's the life of Christ that works in us and through us as we're in that cross, right? 2 Corinthians 4:10-12.
Absolutely.
And death worketh in us. Death is the rest, right? And life works in you, in others, right?
And yes, and Jessie Penn Lewis makes this statement in some of her books. She may have made it in the one on conquest of Canaan, but she says that we need to, quote, abide in the death position, unquote. To abide in his death, Todd, is to abide in his life. And so we need to maintain this attitude of the death position. Remain on the cross. Bring our flesh to stillness. Bring our mind into a rest. Stop the racing thoughts and just rest in Christ, Todd. And then he will speak himself into your life and into your activities, and he'll motivate you and empower you and inspire you to get up off the couch and go do great things, not in your power anymore. That's gone. That's death. But in his power, Todd.
Amen. You know, I've said it before, and it continues to come to mind. I want to say it again. A blessed sister in the Lord once told me, and I never forgot it. She said, you know, the best Marthas are Marys. In other words, when we're Marys first,
right.
When we do arise to work, it's under the anointing of the Spirit. I think all of us as Christians have had some place in our life where we were trying to muscle our way through some situation, toiling in mind and in body to get through or to get out of a situation. And we finally had to come to the place of throwing our hands up and saying, Lord, I can't do this, so I have to rest in you. That right there is, what would you say about that part of the Christian life, brother?
Well, you know, I'm reminded of some passage where Paul says, and I can't, maybe you probably remember where it is, but he says, you know, he had a door open to go in and minister. Well, now, you would think it's always proper to go through a door like that. But he said, I didn't do it because I had no rest in my spirit. I didn't sense that restful spirit, and I wasn't at peace about something. So he declined to go do what all of us would think we have to do, we should do. We should always go through a door to preach the gospel and to spread the word, but he says he did not because he didn't have any rest spirit. Todd, there has to be a tension between rest and work in the life of the Christian. And it can't be overloaded on either side. There's always that tension. We're resting as we work. And we're at peace. We're not frantic. We're not pulled apart. We're not fragmented over this. If you have no rest in your spirit, something's wrong.
Yeah, you know, what comes to mind is 1 Samuel 15:22-23. To obey is better than sacrifice. Perhaps most of us know the feeling when somebody says, hey, can you come teach a Bible study? Or, hey, brother, sister, would you like to go to the streets and witness with us? You know, and then you just feel like, I'm not supposed to go. But I feel bad because, you know, I'm supposed to be witnessing, and hopefully we all are in our way, you know, that God's using us to do. But anyway, that's kind of a living example of how that's a great passage, though, to put some biblical truth to that every door that opens is not necessarily the Lord, right?
Well, that's true. And it may appear to be the Lord. It may appear to be something of the Lord's business that you're being called to do. But there has to be a rest there, Todd. You know, another great point, Todd, here in this passage is that life springs out of death. I mean, I know you love that truth of the cross, and you see that here with these stones, that they were instructed to pull some stones out of the river, buried in the river. These are stones that have been there for a long time and buried, and pull those out of the river and carry them on their shoulders into the land and place them down in the land as a memorial. And it says, when their children would ask about it, that they would be able to say what happened there. That's a picture of life out of death, Todd. Those stones out of the river is our new life in Christ, our new creation, new man life coming up out of death and being placed into Christ, coming up out of the cross. And then they were instructed to take some stones and put them down in the river and leave them there. And that's a picture of our old self, our old life, buried and dead in Christ, left behind, Todd, dead to the law, dead to sin, buried in that river. And it says those stones are still there today. So,
amen.
We need to memorialize and remember, Todd, and have a definite marker that we died with Christ and we have a new life in him. New creation, Todd, new man. That's the stones that came out of the river. So these two chapters, to me, the most beautiful truth in here is life springs out of death, Todd.
Amen. Now, these stones, they were buried in the bottom of the river, right?
Yes, sir.
And they had to be dug up. That's the imagery we get where God found us in the miry clay of our sin, isn't it? Initially.
Yes.
And he dug us out of humankind, the midst of humankind. You ever stop to just say, God, you chose to find me and gave me the blessing to be repentant, and the gift, and to be saved? I mean, just, it can just really break us if we go back to remember that and look around us at the sea of lost humanity that wanders about with Alice Shepherd, Matthew 9:35-38, and how Jesus is moved with compassion on him. I want to stop for just 30 seconds, Brother Travis, and say, you know, the born-again believers that are listening, many of which listen to this program, we all want to be used of the Lord. We all want to be have some part in the ministry of reconciliation where God turns sinners into saints, making them new creatures. And the first and foremost essential there is to allow him to be in control of our lives. That's what the cross is all about, where we're announcing every day, participating in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that he is supreme, not us, that we absolutely need him, and to be poor in spirit, and we'll see the kingdom of God eternally, but we're going to see it right here on the earth. And we've put out a new book recently. I want to encourage you to take a look at and possibly get a copy of, and maybe get a copy for Christian friends around you, called Revolutionary Evangelism. It's available on Amazon, Revolutionary Evangelism, also on SafeguardYourSoul.com. and GreatCommissionAdventure.com. And then, Brother Travis, CrossCentral.org, right? Is
yes,
your site?
Yes, CrossCentral.org.
Yeah, and while we're at it, if you're in the Bryan College Station area, the wonderful land of the Aggies, you, that's an LSU fan saying that, can you believe it? And I encourage you, I've been there, to crosscentral.com. It's a very rare church. It focuses on Christ and his cross and the power of God in our lives, and that comes through the cross. And, you know, as I begin to say, Brother Travis, we all want to be used of God more, and the way that happens is by being like a Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet, resting in the Lord, letting him subdue us, if you will, and bring us unto his blessed power and spirit. And then when we do stand up to go do the work, when we go about our daily life, it's the power of God working in and through us. Is that correct, brother?
That is correct. Christ lives in and through us, Todd, and we don't do it. He does.
Amen. Sum up this thing with these stones again, brother. I want to make sure we all begin to get a hold of this, because to most of us, this is seed thoughts that will affect our learning in a blessed way in the days ahead. The 12 stones.
Yes.
Joshua 4.
The 12 stones, Joshua 4, 3 and 7 are the primary verses there, verse 4 and 7. And then you have these stones that they put back in the river and left there. That begins over here in another part of this. Verse 20 of chapter 4, it says, "And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal." Now, that's the ones that came up out of the river. Let me find the ones that were left in the river.
All right, now, I wonder if that point, while you find that, does that point to we were drawn out of sin, out of this earth, and we're going to be placed in New Jerusalem?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. The word Gilgal, Todd, is in the New Testament is Golgotha. The rendering of Gilgal in the New Testament is Golgotha. So the stones were put down, the new stones coming out of the river were put down in Gilgal. And this was the place from where the Israelites went forth on their marches of conquest in the land. But they always came back to Gilgal. And they returned there again and again after different victories.
So this
shows, Todd, that we never get away from the cross. Gilgal represents Golgotha, the cross. And even in the land, you know, we don't leave the cross behind. And that's, of course, a major error that Christianity is making in modern day times, is they think the cross is a one-time event. You leave it behind once you're saved. And no, we have to experience the cross every day to find this new life in and be supplied, Todd, with the Spirit that's done through the cross.
Romans 6, saints. Romans 6. Keep going, brother.
I'm upset here, Todd, that I can't find these stones that were left in the river.
No problem. I know how that is. It's early in the morning.
Let me move on to another truth, Todd, and that is this is very interesting. In chapter 3, verse 16, it says, I'll read 15 and 16. "And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped," there we have a little kind of a baptism type word, "dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam." Now look at that, the city of Adam, "that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho." Jericho was also nearby. But here you have these waters flowing down out of the city of Adam, coming down the Jordan River, and these waters were cut off when they crossed. That, to me, Todd, is a picture of the fact that flowing down out of the person, Adam, we have this sin nature. Sin flows out of Adam, and the cross is what breaks the power of that sin, Romans 6. So when we participate with Christ in his death, that flow of sin out of Adam is cut off, Todd.
Incredible. Yeah. Romans 5, right, brother? "In Adam, many were made sinners." I believe it's verse 18 and 19. "Death passed upon all men because of the sin of the first man and woman, Adam," verse 12. "And so the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam." Is there a significance of the very far from the city of Adam? That is beside Zeratan. "And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, And the people passed over right against Jericho. That's chapter 3, verse 6, Joshua.
See, Jericho stands for sin, and so we're coming against sin as we cross, and the city of Adam is symbolizes Adam himself, which sin flows out of. We inherit sin. It's passed down to us. It flows down to us, Todd, and that flow, that inheritance, that genealogy of sin can only be broken through our participation in this baptism into death, Todd. The Jordan River signifies it there in Joshua chapter 3.
Amen, brother. Amen. And then, beautiful. Now, did we find the buried stones yet?
I'm still looking for it, Todd. And I remember doing this before. Yeah, it's in here somewhere.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I just...
Yeah, it's in one place somewhere.
Yeah, and
start
it uses
on
the word,
and I'll see if I can find it while you're talking here.
Absolutely, man. Let me read Romans 6, ladies and gentlemen, as
a
cornerstone of the cross. Verse 3 and 4, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, or resurrection life, but that's only in the death and burial of Christ, which of imperative nature has to come before and precede the resurrection. God is not going to raise us up unless we identify with Christ in his death and burial. And when we do, God is going to raise us up in newness of life, that we are able and blessed by God to walk in. Many today believe in a salvation by grace initially, but then they revert back to the works of the flesh. And, you know, Galatians 3:3, Paul it sends forth a rebuke. He says, having begun in the Spirit, that's the resurrection life of Christ, when we initially admit we are absolutely guilty and sinful, and we are blessed to be dead and buried with him, we surrender, and then he raises us up. That's the resurrection. We see this throughout Scripture. Verse 5, Romans 6, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. The only way we can have the resurrection life of Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, teeming in us and propelling us, is to identify with him in the cross. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Brother
and
Travis.
Todd, this river at this time of year, I've read in some books concerning the geography and everything over there, it was out of its banks. When it was out of its banks, as it says in 3:15, verse 15,
yeah. Got 90
that
seconds.
River, Todd, was 2 miles wide and 30 feet deep. I mean, this was a significant crossing here. This was no minor situation that God was taking them through. It was a very perilous thing, a fearful thing that God brought them through, this cross-like experience there. Now, I did find the 12 stones that were left in the river. That is chapter 4, verse 9. It says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. That's a memorial to the fact that our old man is dead, Todd. Positionally, we have died with Christ and left that old man in the river, Romans 6:6. And we have moved into newness of life. We're now new stones, and we're new in Christ. That's the new stones in the land, Todd. Life springs out of death. These stones sprang up out of the Jordan River, and just in the same fashion, we spring up out of our death with Christ, Todd.
How beautiful. You know, Romans 6:7, the resurrection of Christ here. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Father, deliver us from anything that displeases you through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, and conform us to his holy image in the cross. In Jesus' name, thank you for these moments, Father. Amen.
Amen, Todd.